It felt like Armageddon, fire falling out of the sky. This is what hell looks like. We're broadcasting live from Bega this morning on the south coast of New South Wales, an area that suffered terrible losses when those fast-moving bushfires broke out on New Year's Eve, sweeping through small towns, leaving lives lost and communities devastated in its wake. 10 people died in this coastal region alone. Hundreds of properties were destroyed, millions of hectares of forest, of bush and farmland wiped out, and wildlife lost on an immense scale. In the nearby village of Cobargo, one village alone, the losses were unimaginable. Population just 800, 4 people are dead, 110 houses in the area destroyed, and the historic main street scarred and altered forever. That picture of thousands of residents seeking refuge under a blood-orange sky at Mallacoota Beach in Victoria will remain a symbol of the unprecedented crisis our country faced this summer. As the world watched on, these Australian bushfires sparked a global debate about climate change and the threat it poses for all. But the world also saw the character of our nation on display as thousands of volunteer firefighters battled tirelessly to save lives and properties of people they don't even know. As individuals performed heroic feats, and as communities came together to support each other in the wake of the devastation. Herculean efforts, even as some of those in authority were sometimes missing in action. Over the next few days, we'll visit some of these communities in the Bega and Yirrabidalla Shires, and we'll talk to the locals. First, though, we sent Matt Bevan out on the road from Sydney to Ulladulla, where the bushfires arrived early, wreaking deadly havoc in a pre-Christmas harbinger of what was to come.
Warragamba Dam is Sydney's primary source of drinking water. It is one of the largest domestic water supply dams in the world. It's in the National Park area between the Southern Highlands and the Blue Mountains. And in early December, it was almost entirely surrounded by fire. Deep in the bushland near the dam is the small town of Natai. It was directly threatened by the fires. I visited Michelle and her son Nathan, who were there as the fire surrounded their town.
It was always a possibility. We knew that.
We've always lived in bushfire zones.
You like the bush, Michelle?
I do. Yeah. I do, yes. Yes. I love the country. Yeah. I still stay here. I mean, we have absolutely wonderful crews here. We had trucks here like you wouldn't believe. There was that many there was that many fire trucks here. It just come from everywhere.
Yeah. Melbourne. We had a few trucks up from Melbourne. We had a crew. Blue Mountains.
They were here night and day patrolling. You could hear them. So I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Natai was lucky. The massive fire, which has burned an area larger than the ACT around it, was brought under control. The situation is very different in the Shoalhaven region, though. Conjola National Park, south of Nowra, has almost entirely burned, and residents there were forced to defend their homes directly. Gary lives in Bendalong, right in the middle of the park.
Everywhere you go is just devastation. There's a couple of small areas in the valley which are still green. I think that's where all the animals went, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of you don't hear or see any animals around in the trees at the moment.
Yeah. Well, they're all coming to my place now.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I put water out and feed, and they all come round.
Yeah.
But there's not as many, of course. Oh, well, I've been around this area for 50 years, and there's always been fires. But in this case here, the problem was that the fires came in over a two-week period, three times.
How have your neighbours fared?
My next-door neighbour is definitely, affected by the fires. You know, he's not handling that well. But the others, they have a bit more of a better support group.
It's pretty extraordinary around the National Park. I've been driving around a little bit, and there aren't that many lost homes. And yet the fire has burned essentially the entire National Park.
That's right, yeah. And it's all about their bombing was to save the houses. And it was quite isolated when they came through. And then once they controlled it, they'd move on. But they would let the bush burn. The fire just kept going.
But across Lake Conjola, the destruction hit a lot of homes. I spoke to a builder named Matthew. He was on a worksite near his home, which burned to the ground on New Year's Eve.
We lost our house, sheds, cars, boats, trailers.
So everything, all
everything
gone.
Flat. Yeah.
Were you there when it happened?
Yeah, we were there fighting.
Right. So you didn't leave, you stayed there and watched it go?
No, we stayed there, yeah.
What was it like when it came?
It was pretty intense, hot. I think the adrenaline really gets you, but don't really remember a whole lot.
Where I'm standing with you here, you seem to have new tools. Is that as a result of losing your tools in the fire?
Yeah, we lost all the tools, lost tool trailer, cars. So had got to go shopping, which was pretty good.
Yeah, and so with insurance money?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it came through that quickly?
Yeah, it came pretty quick. Pretty quick. We're still waiting on a few, but some stuff's paid out, some stuff is still waiting. No, it was good because I could get back to work, which is a good start.
So what about, have you got somewhere to stay in the meantime?
Yeah, we've got an Airbnb in Brill that insurance is paying for, so.
How's the family feel?
Yeah, every day is different. One day is emotional, the next is not too bad.
Yeah.
I went to work last week just because I couldn't sit at home. Just walked around for a few days with no tools, but it was just normality was good.
How do you feel about your decision to stay and defend your house, putting yourself through that, seeing that happen? Would you do it again the same way?
I'd do it again, but completely different.
What could you have done differently to change the outcome, given how enormous the fire was?
Have more... maybe petrol water pumps or something, because we had a Jenny and everything set up, but by the time we turned on multiple hoses, the pressure was kind of gone. So
the generator was powering the pressure.
Yeah, but which was fine over one or two hoses, but there was five of us there, and by the time everyone has a hose, the pressure's divided by five.
90 homes in that suburb are gone. Head south from Conjola on the Princes Highway and you'll be surrounded by burned bushland pretty much constantly for an hour, all the way to the Yorobadala region, where the village of Mogo was devastated by a blaze that same day, New Year's Eve. After Mogo, it spread to the beachside town of Rosedale. Mark was hiding in his garage when the fire arrived.
And I think we probably were only held up in the garage for probably in the order of 5 minutes. It felt like an eternity, but if we hadn't sort of stayed, really, that's a message. Having secured our safety inside the garage with the sprinkler going on the roof, we're very confident, sort of kept us safe and really saved the house.
How many homes have been lost here in Rosedale?
To my understanding, in South Rosedale, it was probably in the order of 10 out of maybe 100 houses, but the ratio in North Rosedale, just across the creek, is the opposite. There's probably 10 left out of all the homes that were in North Rosedale, and my guess would be there'd be over 100 there.
Rosedale resident Mark ending that report from Matt Bevan. And this morning we're broadcasting from Bega in the New South Wales South Coast, and through most of the program we'll be bringing you perspectives from the locals, from the mayor, from the firefighters, from the farmers, from the scientists, from the locals.